The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says this, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off of thy shoulder, and his yoke off of thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." I like 50s and 60s music. And one of my favorite ones was old Summertime Blue. Some summertime. I don't know all the words, but I like it. But I realize that summer is coming. Wait, it's coming. No, it's already here. And with it, all of God's creatures come out to work their magic among us here on earth. One of God's most fascinating creatures is the spider. I think everybody likes spiders. Well, how many of you have been going your own way, not paying any attention? Maybe walk into a doorway without knowing you walk right into the spider's web, and you go, you know, trying to get that mess off of you. You sputter, trying to clear all that sticky bits from your face and from your hair. And as you look around, and you make sure the spider didn't come with it. But the spider is actually an amazing creature. Its ability to build intricate webs that can trap potential food. Now, I got a man cave, and it's not the cleanest man cave in the world, because Judy said, "Well, you're going to clean this place." But on my window off to the right, sometimes I see a spider over there, and I don't pay attention to him, but he'll build a web. And then next thing you know, something flies in from outside, especially in the wintertime when I got the doors open. And sure enough, that thing gets caught in that spider's web, and it stays there suspended until the spider comes for the food. Well, that sounds like a terrible way to start out a sermon about the Holy Spirit, preacher, on Pentecost Sunday, except for the part in which we find ourselves entrapped into similar situations of life. Now, we may not be the victim of a giant spider, thank God, and we hope that never comes to pass, but, I love the buts, we do as human beings tend to get caught up in webs, usually our own making, and just as treacherous to our lives. And just like the creatures in the story I shared, we struggle and curse until we have entirely immobilized ourselves within the unfortunate predicament that we find ourselves in. Often, we don't know how to get out. Now, I like to imagine. Just imagine with me. I like to imagine. I like to put myself into the scriptures and parables and different things. It helps me to better understand. And I want us to imagine for a moment when you might have found yourself in just one of those situations. Maybe you said something to someone that rubbed them the wrong way. And instead of simply apologizing, you keep trying to explain your way out of it, and you just dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. It's human nature. Maybe you did something wrong, and instead of admitting your mistake, you try to hide it or cover it up, and trapping yourself into more and more lies until you feel all bound up in tangles of your deed. Maybe you sent out invitations to an event and forgot to invite somebody whose feelings got deeply hurt when they found out you didn't invite them to the event. And instead of saying, "I just forgot, sorry," you make up some elaborate story about how they were overlooked, and sometimes that just comes backfires in you later when the truth comes out. I got a little phrase that I don't know where it came from. The Lord kind of quickened in my spirit one time when the world says, the truth hurts. Well, think about it. The only time the truth hurts is when you're not in harmony with the truth. That's when the truth hurts. So, maybe you just tried a little drink like I did one time. Maybe even a little drug. you reason with yourself that, only once, I'll do it one time. And then next time you did it again, and then you found caught up in this web of addiction. That's one of the things that Celebrate Recovery is really good. So is AA and some of the other ones. But that's how that thing takes place. It takes 21 days to build a habit, 21 days to get rid of a habit. And sometimes these little things like drink, alcohol, drugs or something, it won't hurt one time. Next thing you know, you got yourself a mess. Now, I think all of us know similar stories. And I also know that most of us have experienced some of that ourselves, or maybe have family members that have. But the truth is this. Our lives are filled with barriers, webs, ropes, constraints, and most of the time, we've walked straight into them by ourselves and have wrestled within until they have gotten ourselves into an unslightly mess. Jimmy Dean, and I don't know if he did it originally, but he wrote a poem, and I changed it to be politically correct, Man in the Glass. I changed it to Person in the Glass. And I got it on my mirror in my old bathroom. Judy lets me share her bathroom now in the new house. But I got it in my mirror, and it always reminded me, who is your best friend? And that poem goes through. It's the one that you're looking at in the glass. If you can't be a fresh friend with that one, that person is looking back at you, look up the poem sometime, or I can give you a copy of it. It's heart-wrenching, and there's so much truth in it. You say, wow. And that's when we need God the most. This is when the Holy Spirit of Christ will come into our lives. We spend a lot of time in Holy Spirit school so that we could develop and know the person of the Holy Spirit, because he is a person. And you didn't get him in pieces. You got him God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes into our life and frees us. Because we cannot do it ourselves. We simply can't. I tried that white knuckle stuff. You can't do it yourself. You need God's help. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. So the good news is this. God is in the business of deliverance. God delivers us from the yokes that keep us bound up or entangled, ropes in our own making sometimes. And God breaks through those ropes that bind us together. Now we sing that little song, bind us together. And we need God to unbind the ones that are not doing what they should be doing, keeping us in bondage. God breaks those ropes because God's masterful. God is absolutely astute and brilliant at breaking through every mess that we can possibly make. Praise be to God, our Redeemer, for God frees us from ties that bind. All kinds of ties. I don't know why I always mispronounce that in singing that song, the ties that bind. I thought tide, you know. No, it's ties. Ties. Now that's the good news of the gospel in Jesus' message. Jesus is the liberator. And from the time that Jesus stood up that day in his hometown synagogue and read the words of Isaiah, we knew and they knew he was God. God is our liberator, the same God who liberates us from the slavery in Egypt or the slavery of any other kind. The same God who liberates us from destruction, from enemies. The same God who liberated us from those who would exile or exclude us. That same God still does deliverance today. Because God is in the business of deliverance. God breaks down the barriers that separate us from our neighbors and others. God breaks down divisions that threaten to allow us to categorize each other rather than recognizing our common humanity. God breaks down the walls that separate communities from each other. God breaks down hearts that have spent too many years angry and hostile to our neighbors. and to those who look differently or even think differently than we do. I think most of all, God breaks down the barriers that we suffer at our own hands. Doubts, inhibitions, pain, fears, hesitation, self-consciousness, defenses, assumptions. I always like that assumption thing because it says it makes up, you know, out of you and me, assumptions. God breaks down through our toughest webs of self-deceit and he liberates us from ourselves. For we are our own worst enemy, and I'm guilty when it comes to flourishing in our lives. When we allow God entry into our hearts, God will break us down. God will break through and reveal the authentic identity as being a child of the living God through Christ. And God will break down our past hurts and our pain and our trauma and addictions and bring us into a new and a free place. The forgiveness of sin. When he forgives us, he takes those sins and puts them in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. But I love the buts. Because he wants us to share that grace and love that we experience with others. He lets us go get that mess out of the deepest of the sea. Bring it and share it with somebody so that you can share with them the hope that you have in Christ. And then when you do that, he takes them and puts them back in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. No longer you have to look over your shoulder and worry about all that stuff in your past, because once you've accepted Christ and his forgiveness, it's gone. Oh, now the devil can't read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind. Only God can read your mind. Only God knows your mind, knows your spirit, and the devil will try to trick you into things like he did back in the garden, what he tried to do with Eve. Well, he didn't try, he did it. He can play tricks on you. But this is the day of Pentecost, and God is in the business of deliverance. The day that we celebrate God's identity as a breakthrough God. For when the Holy Spirit comes upon a people and a church, God pours out God's love and power and presence upon that people. And you can feel the chains and the ropes that have bound you and inhibited you and fall away. Amazing grace. My chains have fallen away. You can feel them fall away. And God gives us a glimpse of a different kind of life. A life filled not with ropes and webs, but a life of authenticity, a life of love and joy and hope for a different future. That you will not just get by, but you'll flourish. The question is this, for all of us. Now, when I say you, I'm talking about me, and when I talk about me, I'm talking about we, because we're all children of the living God. So I'm not pointing a finger at anybody when I say you. Because you know that old thing, when you got all these fingers, they point back at you. The question is this, are you ready to allow God to infiltrate your life? Are you ready to let the Holy Spirit of Christ to break through the barriers that you hold, that might hold you captive, and the walls that separate you from your community or your relationships? Are you ready to allow Christ to guide your life forward in new and exciting ways? Are you ready to let go of everything that has held you back in your life, so that you can embrace the legacy that Jesus wants to give to you? If you do, I want to invite you to come forward today. If you like, just come forward to the altar and we can lay hands on you, we can pray with you, or you can just sit in your pew and let the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting, not me. Yeah, me. So, the Holy Spirit wants to free you, wants to forgive you. So when he ministers to you in a way that we call it our conscience, he's just telling you basically, I love you. So I invite you to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit all around you and invite that Spirit of Christ into your heart. I know we did a lot of this when we had Holy Spirit school, but it's important that we do that because the Holy Spirit will never be anywhere unless he's invited and he knows that you want him there. It's like a child. A child has a very instinctive way. They know that if an adult don't want them around, they have that instinct. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He's available to all of us. And we can shut him out if you want. It's that ticket, you know, got your choice. So invite the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ into your heart. Open your heart to him and receive him into your life. And I can tell you from experience, and you probably experienced it too, it's an exhilarating way that will change you, mold you, and relieve you and free you. Question for all of us is, are we ready to be free? So when you allow God to free you, to unbind you, to break through the webs of defense and deceit, inhibitions and fears, your life is changed. It will be changed. Now, things will creep in. We got new neighbors that moved in and they came to the fence and Judy and I talked to them, introduced ourselves and different things. I witnessed to them a little bit only to find out that they were Christians too. It was nice to know that. And I told her, I says, now, I'm a retired United Methodist pastor. I says, but I don't have it all together all the time. I repent probably 1,000 times a day. And that's what we got to do. Just repent. Realize that you're going in the wrong direction. And just say, Lord, I don't want to go there. You know, forgive me. I trod there. You know, you do things and you say, oh, no, I shouldn't be doing that. And it's an exhilarating free way of living. Forgive me, Lord. So if you're ready to hear the Spirit's call in your life, and if you would like to come forward to the altar, you can receive a blessing. You can receive the anointing. Tina, our lay leader, and I lay hands on you and pray with you individually if you like. No pressure. If you don't want to, that's okay. Hello. That's okay. You don't have to. You can be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, say, I don't think I've ever been baptized. So we can baptize you. It's really a wonderful thing. That baptism has a cleansing way of just, you know, washing away your sins and realizing that you truly are a child of the living God. Or you can be received in the membership of God's holy church. I'm not talking about Bethel, although it's a similar type of thing, but more importantly, it's not what's over the door, it's what's in the heart. It's God's church. Guess who's in charge of the church? Jesus. It's his church, not ours. You can be a member of God's holy church and simply feel the healing power of the Spirit within you. So as you encounter God in this holy place, I challenge all of us, no matter whatever you do, whatever you say, know that this day God wants to free you, to be with you, to dwell in you, to guide you.